Hi, I am Alex, an atmospheric modeler at Vortex in Barcelona. And we are trying to create a new generation of time series for wind resource based on LES. Talking with some of you during these days, I have noted that there are a public with a wide range of experience. There are people that knows a lot about LES and people that don't know anything about LES. And I have tried to make a presentation for all the audience. Okay, let me start for the beginning. The wind energy starts in the 70s, and during that age, we didn't have models and reanalysis, and all was based in real measurements. In the 80s, we start to have linear models, and we try to calibrate better the site to build the wind farm. Then in the 90s, there were the Danish Revolution with two key words that are RISO and WASP. And these models were changing until reach nonlinear models that are the CFDs. At the same time, at the beginning of this century, we start to run mesoscale models for wind resource assessment. Mesoscale model basically try to solve this set of equations. This is not important, but the key point is that in the left hand, we have the dynamics that can be solved by the grid resolution and the temporal integration. And in the right hand, we have all the processes that cannot be solved, and they must be parameterized. What processes? Well, there are a lot, like the relative transfer, microphysics, and turbulence that is important for wind farms. In mesoscale models, when during the last decade, when resolutions were higher than 500 meters, each pixel in our model produced the mean flow of the wind, and the anomaly, the turbulence, should be parameterized. There were two types of parameterizations. The vertical motions were parameterized using PVL schemes, while the horizontal diffusion was represented in terms of the deformation of the large flow. The most important, probably, models for CFDs and for mesoscale models are OpenFOAM and WRF that are widely used in the industry. And in the recent years, there are another approximation that is trying to couple both models to produce turbulence, but as a post-processing of the work. In Vortex, we are atmospheric modelers, and we want to try to have a seamless modeling. It's our dream. We want to have a mesoscale model that can run from the mesoscale to the details of the microscale. And how we can do this with LES? When we go to resolutions under 200 meters, PVL schemes are not useful because they cannot produce the turbulent motions, and we need to use another approach, that is the large eddy simulation, or LES. Basically, this approximation splits the turbulent motions in large eddies that can be solved using the Navier-Stokes and has a size that is greater or equal than the grid resolution, while the small eddies that are the smaller turbulent motions should be parameterized in subgrid scale models or resolved subfilter scales. LES, it's not a new technology. It has been used during many decades, since the 70s, and mainly for in idealized cases for understanding the turbulent motions and for tuning the PVL schemes. In that type of experiments, LES works, for example, without radiation, without interaction with the surface, and it was not introduced in real cases due to the high computational resources. But now we have the power to try it. And then when in Vortex we start to work with LES, we had three questions. Can LES work in real cases? Also, can mesoscale models reach the microscale? This means, are the parameterizations in the current version of the WRF ready to reach the microscale? And the last one, that perhaps it's the most important here, is LES ready? It's a suitable tool for wind farm and wind resource modeling. This is a first experiment that I did for a region in the Peninsula Iberica. And while you can see two simulations, one at 1 kilometer and the other one at 37 meters, and you can see that at 1 kilometer, all is smooth. And when we go to 37 meters, we have more granularity in wind speed. I have a video I can show if any of you are interested later. And after that, I try to validate how LES works. I search 5 sites. The site 1 and site 2 have 1 year of data, and the other sites just 1 month. And I compare WRF using PBL at 3 kilometers, that it's a standard product for the wind industry, with WRF LES using 110 meters, and I only have few results for WRF LES at 37 meters. I ran all the simulations and I made the validation, and well, you have here the results. It looks that the mesoscale model using PBL schemes works better than LES. They are close, but LES cannot improve the mesoscale model. And well, we tried to understand why. And for example, I choose random time series. Here you can see in black the observations. The bars are the standard deviation, are observations every 10 minutes. In green, you have the mean nodal output of the WRF using PBL scheme at 3 kilometers. And in blue and red, you have LES at 110 meters and 37 meters. You can see that in general, LES works better, has a more structure than the mesoscale model. But in some cases, like at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, the turbulence becomes crazy. And this is a problem to the metrics, because due to this, we lose correlation and demand increases, as we see in this picture, in this table. We aren't happy about the results, because perhaps it's not useful, but we tried to search if LES is producing more turbulence than the current WRF at 3 kilometers. And the first that I did was to create a typical day. I get all the periods and I produce the average day of the of the real measurements and of the simulations. Here in black you have the turbulence intensity for the real observations, and in blue the output from the WRF using PBL at 3 kilometers. But I didn't use any post-processing. It's just the 1 minute values. I compute the standard deviation from the 1 minute values, and with this I compute the turbulence intensity. When you can see that in the real world, we have a different pattern between the day and the night. They are more turbulent during the day than during the night. When I plot LES, we can see that there are a shift in the turbulence intensity, a big bias, but the day-night pattern is better than in WRF using PBL. If I look the energy cascade, we can see that for WRF at 3 kilometers, all motions that has a temporal scale less than 1 hour are not well captured. They had a lowest level of energy. While if I plot the output of LES in red, we can see that now the energy cascade is better and performs better with the Kolmogorov theory. And finally, I compare also the wind speed, the 10-minute wind speed averages with the turbulence intensity. In gray, you have the real measurements, and you can see that in general, for low wind speeds, the turbulence intensity is high, and when wind speed increases, the turbulence reach an asymptotical value around 15 or 25%, and well, Wharf with PBL at 3 kilometers cannot produce too much turbulence. But when we plot Wharf with LES, we can see better results for low wind speed values. But when we reach higher speeds, the turbulence falls to zero. This means that the flow becomes laminar. There are not turbulence. We are trying to understand why and to improve this point. And then these are our first tests with LES. We are trying to understand how it works. We know that there are some points that must be improved, but in Vortex, we have the dream of a seamless modeling approach, and we are putting all our efforts to achieve, and well, we think that we can do it, and just to say, follow us for more results. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Alex, any questions? Yes, one, okay.
When you show this turbulence and the spectra, how much of the turbulence can it be ascribed to the subgrade parameterization, and how much is a result by the model?
I didn't test this yet. I just get the minutal values, I compute the standard deviation, and from this value I calculate the turbulence intensity. But I have not tried to understand yet what is the source of this turbulence, if just for LES or just for the subgrid scale approximation.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Alex.
Thanks.